Righty, I'm going to talk about baptism in water tonight, and you'll find it very interesting. It won't be the usual Pentecostal stuff you used to, and it's pretty important because next, Vaughan announced last night that we're having the water baptism service next Saturday night here. Under that, that's I've had a look at it. Josh opened it up this afternoon, and it's quite a deep tank there, and so you'll have to have your snorkels, or you'll be, no, it's not that big. Now, look, we know people want it done in the river and all this. Can you just bear with us? I really feel in my heart, the Lord was leading me yesterday and today, especially today, that we need to have the first few here because we want you to invite your friends here. We want to get people familiar with this building, what's happening here. And then soon there's going to be so many getting baptized because so many are going to be getting saved that we'll have rivers or all your bathtubs, I don't care, whatever. So we just want it done here because... we're changing it from Saturday night. I asked Vaughan if that was okay. Could we have it Sunday night? Because Saturday night's a revival mixed with the local church, and so it would just be a part of. And I don't want to rush it. I don't know if you've ever been baptized in a revival service. It'll be so different. In fact, there'll be so much power here next Sunday night as people are getting water baptized. There'll be a lot of you that'll want to get baptized again. There'll be an anointing come. And some of you, you might want to bring a spare set of clothes just in case. If not, you're happy to go home wet, you know. I've seen people, businessmen, get in their suits. I've already been baptized, but I just feel I've got to do it again. And we're going to be lining up. It's going to be done in revival fashion, where if we can get two, we'll just line up a couple here. We'll have a couple of deacons in there, and we'll just release the anointing, and they're just going to fall into the water, bang, under the power of God. But don't worry, there'll be people in there to catch you. And why is that show? No, it's just the way I do it. It's great fun, and it's different. It's exciting. Makes everybody on the edge of their seats. But with it will come a tremendous anointing. And so we need to devote a lot of the night. We'll still have worship, tiny little bit of preaching. And I reckon there's going to be between 15 to 20, I think, who are going to be getting water baptized. But I think it's going to end up being a lot more than that. I got a sneaking suspicion because this is how you do it in revivals. I don't think, please don't bring your stupid white little gowns. Remember the old days, you used to get white gowns to come in. Everyone's coming in. Just bring your bathers and be a bit modest, women, ladies. Be a bit modest, guys. And come in your jeans or T-shirt or something. But, you know, and just let's just go for this thing. And I'm going to teach you tonight because it might inspire. Who's wanting to get water baptized here? Wow, look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's wonderful. That's just in here. And so between Friday night's meeting and next Saturday night, we'll have a lot more than that. And it's going to be great fun. So especially those who want to get baptized, this message will make it very clear to you why it's a command to get baptized. It's not an option. I go to some churches and I say to people, have you been water baptized 3 years after they were converted? I say, oh, no, we prayed about it, didn't think it was necessary. I said, you're a flaming twit, you know. What's your pastor teaching you? I mean it, because a lot of pastors don't even major on water baptism. And when we see the scriptures I'm about to show you, some of you might be repenting for that. I tell you, because it's so important. It's not an option. It's a command. Okay, just turn to Matthew. Let the Word of God speak for itself now. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Some of these will be familiar scriptures if you've known the Lord for a while. Some of you are just new in the Lord. This will be probably new for you. But I'm going to show you, and we're going to see distinctly there is a difference between water baptism and baptism in the Spirit. A lot of people seem to think it's all the same. I don't know what planet they're from, but it's usually because under pastors you've been under, they haven't taught the Word of God properly, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, and as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. Now we can ask it, now what does the word baptized, Jesus was baptized, mean? Well, in the Greek, that word literally means baptismo or baptizo. It means to fully immerse. It means to be submerged. It means to be overwhelmed with fluid, to be fully wet. That's what the Bible says. And in every place where it talks about getting baptized in water, and it's many, many times in the New Testament, it comes back to the same Greek baptizo, which means to immerse, to submerge, to be fully overwhelmed, to be made fully wet in fluid, meaning water. So a lot of people say, well, I was baptized in my religion when I was a kid. It means nothing. It means diddly squat. You know, you've wasted your time. Your parents took you as a baby, they put a bit of water on your head. Big deal. It's nothing. You're not baptized. You just got a bit of water on your head. That's all you got. Now, if you're a Catholic or someone like that, I love Catholics, but they're wrong. Absolutely wrong. Because the Word of God says they are. That if offends you, well, too bad. Because I'm here to teach you the truth of the Word of God tonight. That's all I'm interested in. Okay. So Jesus was baptized. And it says that as soon as Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened. Now, significant things happen when people are water baptized, and that's why we're going to do it in a revival spirit next Sunday night here, that different things will happen to the people as they're getting in the water. In Jesus' case, as soon as Jesus was baptized in water and he came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, meaning that water baptism very often leads to revelation in the realms of glory. The heavens opened up to Jesus. I've seen many people when they've just fallen into the water and they've been caught in the water, they've been fully baptized, they come up out of the water, they have revelations. It seems like in their spirit heavens open up. Or they begin to get revelation on the Word of God in tremendous revelations over the next few days. Something in their life changes at the very point that they went under that water and came up out of it. Why? Because water baptism very often leads to revelation in the realms of the glory of God. And also, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple of Christ? Yes. Look, we all are. Well, that simply means that we are followers of Christ. Jesus was baptized. And if Jesus had the need to get baptized, water baptized, then so should we as his disciples. He set the perfect example for us. He was baptized in water, the heavens opened. Then directly after that, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was led by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit. You find all that in Luke 4 there. And so, but Jesus was baptized in water. It's not an option, friends. It's a command of the Lord to be baptized in water. It's not something you pray about. It's not something you go to a baptismal class for a month. It takes half an hour message to show you what water baptism is all about. You don't need to go to a class and have it redone and redone. Listen to what I'm telling you tonight and that's it. Simple. Yes, are you arrogant pig? No, no, this is the Word of God. And I've got a spirit of boldness on me tonight, so I can't be too frivolous tonight, if this is a word, such a word as that. Okay. Now, let's move on to Acts chapter 2. Just look there at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says there in Acts 2, 38, especially those ones who are getting water baptized, you need to be following this. So if your family, unsafe family, or people say, but you've been christened or you've been baptized as a child or whatever. You were baptized into the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church or the Uniting Church. You were baptized in this church. We're talking about being baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ or in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, same thing. And so we need to understand these things. And in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is talking about a separate experience now. He's saying, number one, get baptized. Repent of your sins. Give your life to Jesus. Get born again and be baptized. Once again, that word baptized in the Greek means baptismos, which means to be fully submerged in fluid, in water. Fully. Not your head, not your hand, not your feet. Fully dunked. People have made the most, well, I don't like going under the water because it gets on my nose. Well, we'll put you in forward. I've had lots of people say that. Oh, it gets up my nose. You little wimp. We're talking about the Almighty Christ changing your life and you're worried about water up your nose. Get a rubber ducky or get a, I don't know. God, people. But never mind. So getting saved and being baptized in water is not an option. It's a command for every one of us. Peter didn't say, well, repent of your sins. And if you want, you can get water baptized, you know. We understand that you've come out of religions, that you've been christened, you've had a little bit of water sprinkled on your little head, and so, you know, he says, listen, guys, if you mean business with God, He'll be in business with you. But you get baptized, repent and get baptized. These guys in the New Testament repented of their sins and got baptized in water immediately. I cannot believe that a lot of you put up your hands and been saved for quite a while. And I don't condemn you for that. I say shame on your leaders. That's what I say. And if those leaders are here, we'll cop it sweet. It's true. We've got to take water baptism very, very seriously. Because a lot of people don't. Is it a heaven or hell issue? Well, I think that if you don't get water baptized, I don't think you're going to go to hell through it. But the Lord will certainly ask you, hey, why didn't you get baptized? I told you to repent and get water baptized. No wonder you struggled following me. You couldn't even get the first step right and follow me through the waters of baptism. So how in the world are you supposed to get everything else right? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, it probably, if you already haven't got it, that when you come up out of the waters, not only will you get water baptized, you will come up speaking in tongues. But they are two separate experiences. A lot of people look at this scripture and say, oh, Peter's saying to repent and be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. No, it's two separate experiences. How do I know that? Because the Greek word for being baptized means to be fully immersed in water. It says nothing to do with speaking in tongues. But the next verse, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Where do I get that from? Acts chapter 2, that the fire of God hit the place. It seemed like tongues of fire come upon them, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. And it doesn't change. People say, well, I've been filled with the Spirit, but I don't speak in tongues. No, you haven't. You've just received an overflow of somebody's anointing that's touched you and leaves you when you're out of their presence a couple of hours later. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it's a gift from God and it never leaves you. You've got to exercise it until you mature in it. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's for everybody. Your promises for you, your children, all are far off. For all who call upon the name of the Lord. Anyway, we're not worrying about the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. We're talking about being baptized in water. It very often leads, when we get baptized in water, it can very often lead to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just like here. They are baptized in water and got the Holy Ghost immediately, which I think is quite fascinating. All right. Acts chapter 8, just turn there. Acts 8 verse 36. It says in Acts 8 verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? This is, of course, when Philip had just been in a great revival that saw a whole city in Samaria come to Christ. Cripples were being restored, demons were coming out of people, and the whole city was full of laughter and joy because of the God visited that city. And then Philip moved on and the apostles came from Jerusalem to get people filled with the Holy Ghost and to also plant churches, get the people established in the kingdom of God. But Philip goes from a mass revival, seeing approximately 50,000 people come to Jesus, church history, you can work that out from that, between 30 to 50,000 people, which was a lot of people in those days, a lot of people in our days too. And then he goes to witness to one Ethiopian eunuch being led by the Spirit. One Ethiopian man. And it says there in verse 38, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him there. The man, the eunuch, happened to be reading about Isaiah, about Jesus, the sufferings of Christ. And Philip runs up alongside, jumps on the chariot, and starts telling him about Jesus and answering his questions that he was reading about. And obviously the subject came up, well, you need to repent and get baptized. Because how would an unsaved man know to get water baptized? The first question he asked Philip was, why shouldn't I be baptized then? Why not now? That once again is the same Greek word, baptismo, to be fully immersed in water. And the Bible says in verse 38, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Then it says, and when they come up out of the water, you don't even have to go to the Greek for this one, it's very plain. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, preached or appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This shows us that in water baptism, what can take place is supernatural suddenlies of God that happens at Holy Ghost water baptisms. That's why I call them revival water baptisms. I'm not just expecting people to get dunked and come out thinking, oh, I'm wet, but that felt all right. I'm expecting people to shake, to tremble, to have visions of Jesus Christ, to have all sorts of supernatural things happening that hits this whole meeting. You want to bring all your friends next Sunday night, I'm telling you, it's going to be a blast. If you think drinking a bit of water and getting drunk is impressive, or coming near me and you're falling down because I'm in a God zone and it's all around me, that's okay. But when the power of God hits people in water baptism, you watch what happens in the Spirit. It's amazing what it does in people's lives. But you won't know about it unless I tell you. Supernatural suddenness of God happen in Holy Ghost water baptisms. Peter baptizes this guy. And then all of a sudden, as he brings the man up out of the water, Philip is snatched away. And if you do your studies, he was approximately 30 to 50 miles. He was translated in the Spirit, 30 to 50 miles from where he was to Azotus. And the Bible doesn't say that Philip said, oh, God, this is amazing. He just said, oh, well. And Philip went about preaching the gospel. It must have been a regular occurrence with him of the Lord snatching him away. I think it was a regular occurrence in the New Testament era, actually, in the early church. And it's going to start here. I've been told we've got a man right in the midst here. Stand up, brother. Your mother used to get translated in the Spirit, didn't she? From one country to the next, or one place to the next. You know? And in fact, quickly just come and tell us that so people know that we're not making it up. His mother. I'm going to meet his mother. I like to meet people who have weird experiences like this.
Well, this happened a few years ago that my mother, I was having a conversation with her, and she says, you know what happened to me? She says, one day, all of a sudden, I was translated to a different land. And she said that she ministered to someone there. And, of course, I don't remember the details very well, but she said that she ministered and remembers the face of the woman that she had ministered to. And then later on, she went and visited and said, they both knew each other. They said, oh, I know you. Didn't you minister to me before? And she says, I believe I did. And so it did happen to her. So that's.
It wasn't just a vision she was having. She physically was translated there. That's powerful. And that's just one. I mean, that happens. I've heard of hundreds of cases like this. And it's not weird at all, you know. Just so long as God brings you back or you have a few transport problems, passport problems. If you got, say, bang, you just suddenly left this meeting and appeared in Africa, you have a heck of a time getting back unless God translated you back. I always remember Yongi Cho. You read his book, The Fourth Dimension. He talks about he was dressed up in his suit, ready to go to work. His church was about 200,000 at this point, just very small. And it's over a million now. And he's walking out with his briefcase on his way to work. He walks through his front door and he finds himself walking into the house that he found out later was one of the members of his congregation who lived 10 miles down the road, walked out of his house and was walking into somebody else's house. And the people were standing near the door and said, Pastor Cho, that's amazing. What are you doing here? So their mother or someone was just dying of cancer and all the family just gathered around and they were praying that somehow God would bring Yongi Cho to their house. They were members of his church. And he laid hands upon that cancer victim and had asked to live, and they were totally healed. But he said he was very angry at the Holy Spirit because he had to catch a taxi back. God didn't translate him back. He had to catch a taxi back through the traffic. So these things happen, regular occurrences. And so supernatural suddenness of God can happen at Holy Ghost water baptisms. And also, you know that Ethiopian eunuch, church history proves that a great revival broke out at this time, in this era of time, in Ethiopia. And it was a eunuch who said that he had given his heart to Jesus with some man who came and ran up by the chariot and jumped on him. Jumped on the chariot and told him about Jesus and gave his life to the Lord. And it also records that he said, strange things happened. When I was put under the water and came up, the man had gone. I never saw him again. But I went on my way full of joy and laughter and happiness. That's recorded in history. So that's amazing, isn't it? And a great revival through that man getting saved, a great revival broke out where hundreds of thousands of people came to Jesus because of him getting saved. You don't know what is going to happen through one person being water baptized, friend. One person coming to Christ. All right, Acts chapter 22. We haven't got too much to go here. Acts 22, verse 16. This is Paul here, typical bold apostle Paul. Acts 22, 16. And know what? Now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name. That's very, very clear. Paul was speaking to these people, this person saying, and now what is it what you're waiting for? In other words, you've given your life to Jesus. Get up, get off your backside, get water baptized. That word baptized means to be fully immersed in fluid. Get water baptized to have your sins washed away. What's this talking about? This is talking, friends, about that when we come up out of the water, we in our hearts and our minds by faith, we leave all our sins and all our doubts and all our fears and our wrongdoings in the past under the water, and we arise to new life in Jesus. Now, we've already given our life to Jesus and we become new creations in Christ, but this is why we need to follow the Lord through waters of baptism straight away. Because symbolically and figuratively speaking, when we go down under the water, we are literally coming up and leaving all of our sins behind and leaving all of our problems and what dogged our feet down behind. And we're coming up into new life. And I can recount hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over the years when people have given their life to Jesus and they got water baptized, they felt this incredible burden lift off them as they came up out of the water. It was as if their sins were left behind in the water. Well, the Bible says it right here. Get up, be baptized, have your sins washed away, which literally means to have your sins departed from you. I wonder if that's why there's a lot of weak Christians around, because not a lot of people got baptized knowing these sort of scriptures. If you only get water baptized because you're supposed to and you're told to, but and you've been given a few scriptures in a very lame way, you won't understand these things. All right. Is that pretty clear to everybody? Yibbity yibbita. Okay. Acts 16, 32. This is the last scripture, I think. If not, it's pretty close to it. Acts 16, verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. Once again, that in the Greek is fully immersed in water. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe God, he and his whole household. His whole family. This is signifying again, as soon as we get saved, we should be baptized in water immediately. Oh, well, we've got to let the tank all heat up and we've got to have this. What a bunch of toddle. Listen, I used to say to my folk, because you get 15 to 20 saved a week, you've got to be getting people baptized regularly. I said, look, we'll have water baptismal services every second Sunday. But if you're getting people saved on the street, that's just for the people who are getting saved in the meetings. On the Fridays to the Sunday meetings. But, you know, what about all the ones you lead to the Lord? Because we're getting 15, 20 saved on Sundays or between the revival meetings and Sunday. And then on top of that, we're getting at least 10 to 20 saved during the week through marketplace evangelism, like going out on the streets. And I used to teach people, well, you get them water baptized. We don't have to have it all in these doors. I want this to be done here this next week because I want you to see it. And then you do the same thing by baptizing people later on in your pools, in your bathtubs, whatever. We baptized big blokes in little bathtubs because they were so desperate to get water baptized. And we had some folk in our church, so we just baptized them in our bathtub. Did they fully go under? That's all that matters. So go for it. I don't care. Just do it. And they're hearing supernatural stories all the times of lives transformed and things opening up in people's lives spiritually because of those events. As soon as people get saved, they should be baptized. Everybody get that message loud and clear. And if you're going to challenge me, then you'd have to disagree with the Word of God, because I'm talking a bit with the Word of God. You see, it often gets us into people's homes. When people get water baptized, it often gets us into people's homes where fellowship and friendship start to develop. Guess look at verse 34. It says Paul went there, the Philippian jailer, if you read that whole story. And they ended up having a meal with him and his family. And what do you think he was doing while they were having a meal? See, that word household saved means up to 50 people. You've heard me say this before, but in those days, all the families and relatives all lived in the same vicinity. They all lived next door to each other. They were a literal community. So at that meal table, as the Philippian jailer was giving his testimony to all his family about how Jesus came into his life for this man of God's ministry, and Paul would have been explaining to them around a fellowship meal. And there would have been up to 50 people, uncles, aunties, grandmas, mothers, dads, all sitting there. And they all said, "We want this Jesus." And not only did the Philippian jailer get baptized, it says the whole community or the whole household got saved. No wonder, it's amazing. Fellowship and friendship start to develop. Getting people water baptized, friends, gets people somehow supernaturally, things start to open up. And if you follow up properly, you get into people's homes and then you begin to explain to the parents and the families and the friends why you got water baptized and why it's so essential. And you show them the scriptures. Some will reject it, but many will respond. Just through one person getting baptized here next week, he invites you to come along to their house and he gets all his family together to explain to them, and he explains the testimony of what happened in his heart when he was water baptized. And it can lead to many of them getting saved. Trust me, I'm a doctor. These things work. It often leads to being filled with joy, because this is the Philippian jailer and his household were filled with joy, which means what? Ho, 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 ha, 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 he, he, he. They're all laughing, full of joy. How can you be full of joy without laughing? People say, to be full of joy doesn't mean laughter, brother. Yeah, it means you've got to be dipped in lemon juice, hey? Those people haven't got enough power to blow the fuzz off a peanut. I'll tell you, it's ridiculous. We've got to understand. Religious, I'll keep being nice. This oftentimes leads to being filled with joy. You watch what will happen here. We see it all the time anyway, but next Sunday night, some are going to be coming up. Don't laugh under the water. You'll drown. But you come up out of the water, you'll be cackling your heads off. And it says, and he and his whole household were saved. No wonder he's so filled with joy. Listen, he saw in his own life, once he had no peace, he was about to commit suicide because he thought all the prisoners escaped from jail. Paul says, no, don't do that. There's an angel that rattled this place. Went back to the Philippian jailer's house. The Philippian jailer washed all their wounds. And then him and his whole household come to Christ. No wonder he was happy. No wonder he's so full of joy and laughter. No wonder they all were. Why? They just given their life to Jesus. They were translated out of darkness into light. And they're all water baptized immediately. And so you see, that's why it brought such happiness and joy. I think you'd be happy and joyful too if someone just took away all your sins. If you'd been carrying guilt around because of past wrongdoings you've done, and all of a sudden you came to a Savior, he didn't require you to work for salvation. You just simply opened up your heart and received it, and suddenly you knew it was true. Not only did you feel Jesus walk into your heart, into your spirit, you just were forgiven of your sins, and all the guilt and all the shame and all the hurt and everything just went immediately. I think you'd be jolly happy too. Remember when you first got saved, how happy you were. You see, in water baptism, no one else can get baptized for you. You see, I say this because some religions teach that you can get baptized for someone who's died. And perhaps by getting water baptized for them on earth, you can just get them saved so they don't have to go to hell. Some religions actually teach that, by the way. It's a lot of hogwash. Someone's dead, there ain't no more returning, it's too late. If they didn't have Christ in their life, they're in hell. Sorry. But let's see what God's word says about this so you understand where I'm coming from. And it's my last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. Because some, I do know what religions, I don't want to just namesake, but some believe this. They have water baptismal service for the loved ones who have died, in hopes that God will honor that and they'll get them saved. Once you're gone, you're gone. It's too late. You've got every chance in the world while you're on this earth, but once you die, there's no second chance. You can't cry out to God in hell to forgive you. It's too late. It's gone. Finished. No second chance. 1 Corinthians 15, 29 says, why do you... And I'm reading this in the Message Bible because it brings it out very clearly. Why do you think people offer themselves to be baptized for those already in the grave? See, this was happening in the New Testament era. If there's no chance of resurrection for a corpse, If God's power stops at the cemetery gates, why do we keep doing these things that suggest he's going to clean up the place or clean the place out someday, pulling everyone back up on their feet alive? Because people really think, well, God's a God of love. So if people die and go to hell, then God's such a God of love, he'll give them another chance down there. It's only for a short time. He'll literally scare the hell out of them. And then he'll, everybody, okay, out of the pool, it's okay, you can come into my kingdom now. It ain't going to happen, friends. There's some many more scriptures clearly tell us that. But there were some people who thought they could get baptized for their dead friends and loved ones. They thought they'd been so comradeship, and they thought they'd been so doing it for their companions. They were just idiots. Doesn't work. Does not work. Bible's clear. Man, they put up with some, well, I just suppose there's rubbish like that going around today as well. But anyhow, he says, why do you keep doing these things? It suggests he's going to clean the place out someday, pulling everyone up on their feet alive. The dead in Christ are going to rise. The ones who gave their life to Jesus and lived for him and died, and I believe already in heaven. And God's going to do, as I said the other night, do a supernatural thing where he's going to take all the people and all their body parts who have been cremated and eaten by fish all over the place, and he's going to bring all of our body parts back together. I mean, if he created the heavens and the universe out of a spoken word, I'm sure that's an easy task for God. But you imagine it, all the billions of people that have died from the cross to when Jesus comes, whenever that's going to be. There's going to be billions of people. It says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. All their body parts, everything's going to come back together. God's going to put their spirit back in their body, and they're going to be called to meet with the Lord in the air with us. That's amazing. And people don't believe in the rapture. You've absolutely got rocks in your head if you don't believe in a rapture. If you can show me scriptures to prove that, then I'll go out and get drunk with you tonight. How's that? And if you, unless you know the scriptures well, don't come and challenge me on it. I've studied this thoroughly. There is a rapture. Christ is coming back for his church first. The New Age people know this. You want to read the New Age manifesto. They put in there that God's getting sick of his people saying that their religion, their God, is the only way. And he's going to judge the Christians on planet Earth by causing alien spaceships to come to planet Earth and remove the earth of all the Christians. They even believe in the rapture. And they're going to try and convince the rest of the world we've just been judged by God and taken away by aliens and little green men. It's true. Some people are weird, man. You think I'm weird? Try them. They need Bob and Xavier to go to them all and go, ee. Anyway, verse 30. And why do you think I keep risking my neck in this dangerous work? I look death in the face practically every day I live. Do you think I'd do this if I wasn't convinced of your resurrection and mine as a guaranteed by the resurrected Messiah Jesus? Do you think I was just trying to act heroic when I fought the wild beasts at Ephesus, hoping it wouldn't be the end of me? Not on your life. It's resurrection, resurrection, always resurrection that undergirds what I do and say. The way I live. If there is no resurrection, we eat, we drink, the next day we die. And that's all there is to it. But don't fool yourselves. Don't let yourselves be poisoned by this anti-resurrection loose talk. Bad company corrupts or ruins good morals. This is all in light of people who are just getting water baptized for the dead, who already died. And Paul is saying it's about resurrection. We leave our sins under the water. We get water baptized to follow Christ into this new life. And how in the world can we follow him spiritually with the gifts of the Holy Ghost and learning how to be filled with the Holy Ghost when we haven't even done the basic thing of getting water baptized? Hey, listen, there is an anointing that comes in revivals of water baptism. And I've held past revivals, and we used to hire big tanks and put them here, and you know, and three or four people, bang, they'll all be crashing in the tank. It used to be good fun. Carpets used to get wrecked, but that was all right. But businessmen laying in their three-piece suit on the floor, wet through, shaking under the power of God because they were just convicted. People who'd already been water baptized and loved God, there was such an anointing of water baptism in the air, they couldn't help but jump in the tank and get water baptized again. Where does it say that in the Bible, brother? It's all through the Bible, but it doesn't say you only have to get baptized once. When there is an anointing for it, it's like repentance of sin. You probably do it every day of your life. It's the wrong attitudes or whatever. Well, sometimes in water baptism, you don't do it for a religious purpose. There's an anointing there, and God's wanting to speak to you and do something further in you. I don't care what religious gurus and theologians say. I couldn't give a hoot. All I know is when I've been in revivals and I've felt that anointing of water baptism, it's the only way I can explain it come on me. I've just put the mic down and jumped and dived in the tank, you know. And then all of a sudden, because I do that, then all people just jump up their seats and run off, taking off their clothes, you know, respectfully, only a certain degree, and then jumping in the tank. And everybody's happy. It's pigs in mud, getting filled with the power of God because of this great truth coming to life. And sometimes when God is bringing a truth in the church, he goes to the far extreme of it to bring people from 1, 2 to 5, 6, people at 5, 6 to 8, 9. And so revivals usually brings people from one end of the pendulum to the other. To get us moving that way. As long as we don't go against the word of God, as long as we don't get into funny stuff and extra-biblical stuff, God will honor it the whole way. Suddenly we get our eyes off the word. And there's too many good Bible teachers in the pastoral team here. There's too many. Vaughn, I mean, he's a walking encyclopedia. Pedia. And I'm not too bad. Believe it, I come across casual, but I know the word of God, believe me. Just because I failed Bible college, it doesn't mean anything. I've been a thorough student of the Word of God, but I went more on the side of finding out all the spiritual signs of the glory of God throughout the Bible. But I could get you here, up here, and bore you with the tabernacle and what the Old Testament means and how it intertwines within you and all this. A big deal. Doesn't do anything for your life, really. Might be good in a Bible college setting, and I'm sure Richard will just play havoc with that. He'd love that, you know. No, not really. I thought you were a great Bible teacher. Yeah. At least he knows who he is. But that's good. Anyway, I finished. And now to some of you, you knew all this stuff, but it does us good to be refreshed in this sort of teaching. In all honesty, how many of you did learn a few new things tonight? Yeah, quite a number of you. How many of you just found it refreshing to hear that truth again? Yep. So that's good. So people have picked up a few new things. Others was refreshed. For those who've been around the Lord for a while, that wouldn't be new stuff. But that's what the Word of God's all about. He says, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Even when somebody preaches things and when Vaughn says, wow, that's amazing truth Steve gave about being filled, to be led, to be empowered. But you know, but then Leon preached exactly the same message in a different way. What was it? To be impoured, to be outpoured, to be, I don't know. I don't know how he did that. But it's exactly the same teaching, but just because the Bible's like a diamond. It's got many facets to it. And from one verse, it's amazing. You can come at it from 10 different angles, and each one is just as truthful as the other. Just the way the Holy Ghost is. Now, we're not getting water. You might say, you should have preached this last Sunday. No, no. I wanted you to dwell on this and to excite your spirits and to think about things I've said tonight, because we're going to see a great move of the power of God next Sunday night. Yes. Not hyping you up, I'm telling you, the power of God will be here in power next Sunday night in a very unique way. It's all right, you guys can laugh. I hope my fly's not undone. No. Sorry. Sometimes you wonder. I've done that a couple of times. You've gone up to speak at a big conference and people are looking at you and they're looking at you. I think, what's up with them? And then you think, uh-oh. And usually they have Perspex pulpit, so you can't go check yourself. So you just go out the door and think, phew, thank God. Hey, you guys ever done that? Got up there with your fly undone? It's embarrassing, I tell you. I said, you'd be so rude. No. I've been preaching away at times, and I've suddenly handed the mic to the pastor, and I said, look, folks, there's nothing spiritual happening. I'm busting to go to the dunny. See, dunny is the toilet, bathroom. People think, that's so rude. Well, don't you ever go to the toilet? Pretty normal, isn't it, really? You see, I only speak what you think.